everyone. Happy Easter. God bless you today. Do me a favor. I think this is really important that we do. I want you to stand up one more time. And I want you to just take a look around. It's just so good to see people in the house of God today. Thank you for coming today. Happy Easter 2021. And I want you just to do this with me. We've always been, even for the 20 years, we've always been kind of a shouting church of sorts. So I want you to do me a favor. I just want you on the count of three just to put up a shout. And that shout is a declaration of the victory of the cross, that Jesus is not inside the tomb. He rose from the grave. And today we have resurrection power inside of us, right? So on the count of three, I just want you to shout out. I don't care what you shout. Just don't shout something angry at me. Just shout, all right? On the count of three, one. Are you ready? Renee, you ready? Two. Three, come on. Yay! Yay! Yes! 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 Come on! Come on! You can be seated. Oh, I like that. I'm going to miss that about you guys. You've always been such a fun church. We've been through so much in 20 years. It's even hard to know where to even begin or end today. And I don't really have an answer to that. I'm probably going to bumble through a few thoughts as it relates to this family today. I would like to just simply say thank you for those that came from out of town. I believe probably Idaho might be the furthest ones away today. Thank you, Jason and Carrie. We're coming home, the Coeur d'Alene area of Idaho. It's not, you don't live in Coeur d'Alene, but. I love you guys so much. And I know I got lots of texts or a number of texts from people that said we won't be there today. We're with our family, and I completely get that. Easter is probably a very unique time for us to say farewell, but to celebrate as well the future of this amazing church. And what I believe needs to be spoken today on this Resurrection Sunday really has to do with the future of Cross Point. We have fought. And I say that with really not even tongue in cheek. There have been moments in our history together where we've literally had to fight on our faces. Fight for your future. Fight for your destinies. Fight for what we believe God called this place to be. And what it was 20 years ago, this is not an indictment necessarily on a people, but it was what it was. And who you are today are two totally different type of dynamics. And I want to say a few things because as I share a few very, very, very brief thoughts, I have an idea of how we're going to conclude today, at least my part of it. Because to me, it's about obviously Jesus and Resurrection Sunday. It's Easter. But it's also about declaring and believing that your today and your future as a congregation, as a family, is greater than it's ever been in the last 20 years and beyond. I believe this. And we're going to, in a few moments, there's going to be some prophetic declarations over this house that I want you to be prepared to take note of. It'll be recorded, it'll be online, but I also think there needs to be someone that maybe is a keeper of the records, if you will. And maybe Pastor Craig, you or Renee, somebody you can designate, just make sure you write these things down on this Easter 2021, because I believe it's a pivotal moment in the life of this congregation. And if you don't belong to Cross Point today, we're honored that you're here, but take what's going to be released today, wherever you're from, take it with you and claim it as yours. Okay? Over the years, there's been a number of prophetic words, and if you don't know what the prophetic is, it's just declaring the heart of God over a person or a situation, the Father's heart being released. And over the years, there's been many, many things stated that right here in this general area of the congregation, of this building, excuse me, there was something very unique about this spot. And over the years, as strange as this may sound, there's been there's been these miraculous moments when it felt like the earth was giving way to his glory, like the river of God was bubbling up from the ground and it was flowing like a river at the altar and through the building and out the building, if you will. And I was sharing that with a friend of mine yesterday who used to be very close to us here and was actually a part of our team for a number of years. He said one day he was walking through the building, nobody was here, he was walking across. Probably then there was pews, and he was probably walking around the pews so he wouldn't trip. And he said he got down to a spot in the building. He said, I saw a large angel standing right in that spot. I thought, I'd never heard the story before. And he said, all I saw was this angel jackhammering up the ground. And he said, with every impact of that jackhammer, another piece of rock or another piece of debris would be removed. He said, at the same time that debris would be moved, the water would begin to flow in a way that it hadn't been flowing. And I had shared with this person, and I've shared this with others over the years, that I truly believe that there's something unique about 8809 La Mesa Boulevard. If you know anything about architecture or buildings, a building's a building. But when you dedicate something to God, it changes the dynamic of that building. It no longer becomes just an edifice to which you gather. It becomes a place where God can come and convene with his children and move in a way that he so desires. Remember, a building is just a building unless you say, we give you permission to use that building for your glory. And this building and this ground in which this building sits is not simply a building that sits on a boulevard. It's actually a building that was designed and created and crafted so that God's glory can be manifest through the region of San Diego. I've never felt that more than what I'm feeling it right now, as the Father just confirmed to me as I said that the thoughts I've had are true. There is something that flows out of here that's very special. We have seen so many amazing things happen here. We've seen signs and wonders. We've seen healings. We've seen the manifestation of his glory, some weird, just weird stuff. Freaked people out, never came back, that's fine. We've also seen just moments where his presence was so powerfully tangible that you were afraid to move. I remember sitting right over here one Sunday, we usually sat in that area. Dr. James Mahoney was here. James Maloney. He's passed away recently. Dr. James was speaking, and it was actually, was it Labor Day weekend or Memorial Day? Which one's in September? Which holiday is September? What is it? Labor Day. So it was Labor Day, and we always have a picnic on Labor Day scheduled at Santee Lakes. And he was here that weekend, and he spoke, and I'll never forget the Shekinah glory of God, which the Bible teaches is the glory cloud of God. Literally was resting in this building. You could feel the weight of God in the building. I remember so much so that I didn't know what to do. I was afraid to move because I was afraid either I was going to be struck dead or that we would mess up what God was trying to do in that moment. And we had this stupid tension of thinking we had to leave the building to go to a picnic versus embracing the glory and the presence of God. Been fun, but it's not over. It's not over. See, it might be over for my bride and I in terms of leading this congregation. And we have scars on our body, so to speak. that has been caused over the years for the contending and the pressing in to fulfill the mandate of this house. And one of the mandates of this house, I've touched on it, there's a few life messages that have come out of us being here. One I preached 2 weeks ago, which was the premise of when the children of Israel moved from the east side to the west side, they finally were moving into their destiny. And when you move from the east side into your purpose or your destiny, the west side, you can't just cross over into your purpose and expect your purpose just to be easy and it just be light and you just manage your life like, oh, I'm in my purpose now. We call it my sweet spot. Everything's good. No, no, no. What you realize is when they crossed over, they had to march around a very tall wall many times and then shout a decree to knock the barrier down so they could possess what God had given to them. You have to fight for what God's promised. That includes the prophetic. If God has given you a hopeful word that has come through a trusted and proven person that hears the voice of God and they've released that, you've got to fight for your word. There's many of us in this room that have yet to see the manifestation of some of the promises of God fulfilled. How about you? Anybody here? Anybody? There's many about this house I've yet to see happen. That must mean that we're going to see it either later on in life or maybe we'll never see it. But the promise is still true. That's one of my life messages. Another one is the ecclesia. That's part of this family right here, the ecclesia, the called out ones. We don't just gather for the sake of being a church. How boring is that? There's plenty, and I'm not being critical, I'm just saying there's plenty of people that just gather for the sake of religious duty. But we're not called to be perfunctory Christians. Now, we're called to be the light of the world, as we sang about this morning. We are called to make a difference in the culture. And more now than ever, it's my opinion that you supernatural people need to begin to let the light of Christ shine in you and be the apostolic community that God has called you to be, which is the third life message I believe that God has given to me. And I'm not going to touch much on it because I feel like I want to get to what the Lord really wants to release over you today. It might be our last day, but listen, it's got to be about this family as it reflects the Father's heart for La Mesa and the region. This church is not just called to La Mesa. This church is called to the region. We have fought hard to be a regional church. I've got many of my regional close friends here with me today. And in just a moment, some of them are going to release prophetic words over you, over this house, over this family. I feel like that would be more practical, more exhorting, more encouraging, more beneficial than my just preaching a message. And I promise they will be concise and quick, and we won't take a ton of time because we have things to do. A party. Hang out at. In Acts chapter 11, it's the first place that we're called Christians, Christ followers, little Christs. And the place was called Antioch. The city was called Antioch. Some of y'all might remember this, but many years ago, a prophetess by the name of Jill Austin was here. And she prophesied, this is many years ago. Matter of fact, she's the one, first time I ever remember hearing of a man by the name of Sean Bowles. She actually helped mentor Sean back in the day. And Jill was as unique as they come. I've shared this before. Some of you are new, so you would never hear me say this, but she would always say, almost every single time she would speak, she would ask this question. She would say, how hungry are you? How hungry are you? Very, just attracted me to her, the essence of who she was. And another person was there that weekend for the conference, named Stacy Campbell. Some of you know who Stacy is. And both of them, Stacy specific, Jill generally said, that this is to be an Antioch-centered church. If you understand Acts chapter 11, you understand that there were some things that manifested in that church at Antioch. It no longer was just to be a church that confined itself to the walls, but it began to say we're to be the church that, where we were first called Christ followers. We're to take who we are and the encounter we have with Jesus and leave the building and be the ecclesia, be the church of Jesus Christ. To love the misfit. There's my fourth life message. To love the misfit outsider, outcast. To love the person in front of you well, that is an Antioch church. The Antioch church, in my opinion, and it's an they call it the apostolic church. Most don't even understand what that is, so I'm not even going to talk about it. But to be a place where you are empowered and given permission to leave the building and to be who you've been called to be in the marketplace. I just got a text from a friend of mine in Las Vegas. We were going back and forth. He said the next revival is going to be in the marketplace. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Those of you that are working in the marketplace, God's going to use you to touch people. Signs and wonders will follow you that believe. That's the promise of the scripture. I want to hear from you. I want to know when Pastor Craig or whoever is leading this amazing congregation calls and says, you won't believe what happened downtown La Mesa. You won't believe what happened in the downtown streets of San Diego. God is moving in the marketplace, in the public square. Do you believe that? Do you want to be used that way? Belong to an Antioch church like this one here called Cross Point Life. You don't have a church home? Make this your home. If this has been your home, you better keep making this your home. And if people have left our church and gone somewhere else during the pandemic, we bless them in the name of Jesus, but we speak life, we speak hope, and we speak future into this place because it's been promised that this family would see this place filled to capacity. And we're not looking to grow a church simply through church growth methods. We want Jesus to be supreme in our life. He's to be the centrality of Christ, to be right here. He's number one in all that we do and say. That's an Antioch church. Another element of an Antioch church, an apostolic church, is one that really gives great grace to one another. Do you have the capacity to give great grace to someone who fails you? If not, you won't like it here, because that's what's going to happen in the future. Great grace is going to expand. Conflict and struggle in a community are given. It's going to happen. But when you practice disciplines of our faith, you're going to begin to really press into the culture of honor. And you're going to expand your capacity to not live for whoever is filling this spot, but you will begin to expand your capacity to follow the one and whom we have committed our lives to. His name is Jesus Christ, the one who came out of the tomb and sits at the right hand of God the Father today. In a day that's gone crazy, if you aren't deep in your faith, or at least you're not committed to your faith in Christ to follow hard after him, beware. This is a season of an hour in which we live when many believers are going to fall away and say, no longer will I follow Christ. And we begin to believe in doctrine and believe in things that really are not a part of the kingdom of heaven. Beware, because a church that's called an apostolic center or an Antioch church will give grace, great grace to one another. Another one I would say is this: you will be so missionally minded as an Antioch church that you will see fruit like you've never seen bore before. Not just low hanging fruit, you go, you pluck it off the tree. I'm talking fruit that you've never been able to reach before. You have seen it at the top of the tree. You knew it was there, but you could never get to it. It was too hard. I believe with all of my heart, you're going to begin to see the evidence of the mission, of the mandate of this church begin to bear fruits. And I'm talking not years, I'm talking months. We're going to begin to see God expand what he promised he would expand. And I'll say this, part of that fruit is God expanding your heart to love better. Not just in, I love you. Not just, hey, how you doing? love chest. I'm talking true love is manifest when you don't like each other. True love is manifest when you don't like what the pastor's preaching. True love is manifest when you will love when no one else is loving. True love is when you are willing to love the homosexual and not be grossed out by them. True love is going to be when you begin to love the person of color and you admit that you had a bias before, but now you don't. And that could go on. High-hanging fruit, not just low-hanging fruit. It's time. It's time. This house, that well, that's, let me just add back to the, can I take you back to the well for a second? That well was clogged when we first arrived 20 years ago. It was filled with debris and religion and denominationalism and titles and, you know, positional authority, and all that crap was in that well. That's exactly what it was. It smelled horrible. To keep a well clean, you got to make sure that you're a people of prayer, a people of purity, a people of power, and a people of promise. A couple more things, and we're going to release the word of the Lord. This might be the all-time best one of what I think come out of that Antioch church. But as an Antioch center, as an apostolic church, when you know your name, you will be proud to declare it, to share it, and demonstrate who you are. They were first called Christians in chapter 11 of the book of Acts. And I believe this. I believe that Galatians says, you're no longer orphans or slaves, but you've now been adopted as sons and daughters of the King. That is your identity as a Christ follower. When someone asks you, you don't have to say, I'm a son of God, but you can declare it through your identity. And what I mean by that, when you are proud of who you are as a child of God, you will have no problem sharing the love of Jesus with someone. This world needs your story to be told today. We don't need more Christians hiding under their chairs, afraid to say, I don't agree with you. That's not my morality, my moral compass. My moral compass is lined up with God the Father and His Son Jesus through the person of Holy Spirit. You don't like it? Tough. Was there ever a promise in the scripture that said your life would be easy as a Christian? No. Matter of fact, it says you'll probably have to suffer for his name's sake. And when you know your identity, it doesn't matter. I mean, you guys know 6 weeks ago I had a heart attack. It's kind of a joke now. I go, hey, you know, I had a heart attack, right? I tell Rick and Ryan, hey, you know, I had a heart attack, Craig. I had a heart attack. Yeah, I know, first time, right? What? I know, seriously, I'm telling you now, I had a heart attack, Craig. Rick, I had a heart attack. I don't even know where it's going with that now. Just wanted you to know. No, here's what it is. Here's what it is. I'm not afraid of dying. There was a moment, I told Candy, there was a moment when I got my EKG and they said, you're having a heart problem right now. Barry, hang on. Things are about to go real fast. And between walking out of that little room to an ER room, about 25 steps maybe, I had the thought, I'm going to die. I'm not going to see my wife or my grandkids ever again, or my kids. I got into the room, grandkids right here. Grandkids first, and the kids. I saw my three grandchildren. No. Oh, there's my kids. Grandparents can understand that, right? It's like, you love your kids, but those grandkids, oh, man, so good when they come over and then they go home. Anyway, so again, grandparents can relate what I'm saying right now. So anyway, I get into the little room, and honestly, it was gone. I never again had a moment, even when I was going in to have the work done, and I never had a moment of fear ever again. Frustration, irritation, I was angry that I had a heart attack, like, where did this come from? It really ticked me off. I'm still a little bit mad about it, but it doesn't really matter. I'm still here. I'm not afraid of death, and when you know who you are, you'll be willing to take a stand for Jesus and say, don't matter what you can do to me, because if I die, I go to a better place. But until I'm dead, I am going to work this thing against the evil one. And he's not going to have his way in my family. He's not going to have his way in my life. He's not going to have his way in this church. He is not going to have his way in my city. He is not going to have his way. Satan, you're a liar. You're a thief. And you do not have authority over my life, because I know who I am. Last thing is that Antioch Center is this. How you act is equally important to what you understand about who you are. Because when you know your name, how you behave reflects who you know you are. And if you don't know who you are, your behavior is going to reflect your lack of identity. And people will not see the joy of Jesus in your life the way that you should be displaying his goodness in your life. Because when you have an orphan mentality, nothing ever works, nothing's ever good enough, no one's good enough to be in your life, there's always a deficit in your life. But when you walk with Jesus and you know who you are, you have plenty, no matter if your bank account is full or it's empty, you have more than enough because you know who you are and your behavior is going to reflect that. What will this church reflect in the years and months to come? Will this be a church that believes that they truly are in a location where a well is flowing with his presence and glory? Will we be a congregation? I say we will forever be a part of this family, no matter where we are. Crosspoint will always be deeply embedded inside of us. But hear the word of the Lord this morning. When we know there's a well flowing, we know he's moving mightily. We know God's doing something great. Will we be that congregation? Will we be that family that reflects Acts chapter 11? And we are an Antioch church that believes that you can be equipped and empowered and then released to go be the ecclesia outside the walls. That's my prayer for you. That's Candy's prayer for you. That's our prayer for this family. We love you. We're honored to have served you for 20 years. There's a lot of people that I would love to just thank, and I do want to simply say, and let me before I say it, my friends that are here, if you have those words, I'm gonna have you come up in just a moment. We'll just probably have to come up here so cameras can see and hear what's going on, but we won't take long, Pastor Greg, I promise. No, we might take a while. I don't know. We'll see. I want to say how proud I am of how my wife has grown in all these years. I'd rather listen to her talk than me any day. She's got a voice that needs to be heard. And I really honor you. I love you. I'm so proud of you because you've really just become everything I knew you would become and what you're becoming. Bless you. Thanks for being a great mama of the house. You've done well. And one of the things that people don't even understand, have a clue about, is how our children are affected by ministry. And I just want to say how specifically my biological kids, not my children that are married into the family, I would speak to them if they were here. But Lacey, I'm so proud of the woman you've become. You're a beautiful son, as well as inside. You're a great mom. You're a fantastic worship leader. I've told you that, but my friends will attest. I've told them I believe you're one of the best worship leaders anywhere to be found. And I mean that. You've got an anointing that's powerful. I love you. I'm proud of you. My son Blake is not here. He had another thing that was going on today, but I'm proud of my son Blake, who who's got a depth of spirituality that most people can't see on the outside. He's walking deeper than what I've even known. I'm very proud of my son. Now they've grown up in this house and he's become. Mackenzie, my baby girl, I'm proud of you going to college. I'm proud of you staying strong, remain true to your faith, to your family. Went to our church last night that she found in Orange County, and they just love her. We're so grateful for pastors that will love our daughter like that. And she's in a church that believes in the presence and power of God. I just love watching you worship, baby. Thank you. I'm proud of that. Cross Point, you're amazing. Past, present, and who you'll be in the future. I bless you this morning. All right. So let's just do this. Friends, if you've got something, I told them they didn't have to have anything, but come on up. And why don't you just release the word of the Lord and get ready. Brian, if you have something, my friends could have the Orms here. We just love these guys so much. The Wyckoffs, I love you guys so much. Thanks. I mean, these are some, they have a thing called Kingdom Writers Association, KWA. If you want more information, if you're an author or you want to learn how to write, be a part of a company, a tribe, please see those guys because they have an amazing, this thing, since COVID has expanded and they're in places they probably wouldn't have gone so quickly if COVID hadn't hit, right? So bless you guys. Thanks for being here today. All right. Hi, guys. Let me just say something real quick. I love you guys. We've been running together for a while, and, you know, there's not really enough words that we could probably share, but thanks for being our friends. Thanks for the good and the ugly, for just not ever judging us and just loving us. We really honor you guys. Thanks for being here. It means so much to have you here. So
when Barry texted yesterday, Craig and I were kind of undercover. We were just going to slide in. But Barry texted and he said, could you give a word if you have one? And I was like, yes, you punk. Now you know we're coming. But yeah, this house means a lot to me. It means a lot to my wife. I sat right over there the first time at a conference, which was called Firestorm, whatever year it was. And I looked at all the people that were here at Firestorm and I thought, what a bunch of nuts. When you see people going, whoa, I'm going, no. And then a few months later, I was going, whoa. But what God showed me this morning when I woke up and I was focused on Candy and Barry and you as my body, as the body of Christ, that we all belong together. What I didn't know was the well story. But God showed me a gold mine. And I thought, oh, this is connected to. I'm crossing things up because a friend of mine has just written a book with a mine shaft in it. But no, it's there. There's a well. There's a mine there that has been mined. And nuggets of gold and nuggets of precious metals and of the Son of God have been drawn out of here and have been spread all over San Diego, California. This is for you, Crosspoint. To continue to mine, to continue to bring out of this well what he has placed here. Stop, don't follow those that just want to be smorgasborders. Stay, do the hard work that God is imploring on us to come together and do the hard work. It's okay to go visit, but when you're called to a place, don't make any mistake. There's nothing like being called to a place with a family that's strong, with a family that we're going to walk with. I know with Barry, and you'll hear more of this later, I know with Barry that I know who he is standing on my side. I know he has my back. I know he's there for me all the time, no matter how many times he told me he had a heart attack. I had to text Candy one day, and I said, would you pinch him? He just told me again he had a heart attack. But we will ride, we will go, we will fulfill the mandate that God has given us together. That's with all of you. That's just not because we're standing up here. That's with all of you. We will see the banner risen above this city. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus lives forever.
I had to write my stuff down, Barry, because I'm going to get really wrecked. I'm already wrecked. It's an honor. It's an honor that you would call us friends, to be here, to be able to declare and decree things over your house. And I just want to say to you before I share this that I cut my teeth here about 15 years ago. I mean, I am a living example to this house of what it meant to dip the cup in the well and be sent out. Okay, because I didn't know anything about this stuff, and I dragged Rick to the Firestorm 2008, and everybody's wooing and wowing, and we've walked through a lot of things, but I would always say, see you later, Rick, I'm going to Cross Point Church. This was like a home away from home for me. You are pioneered in this region, revival when no one else would do it. You were brave enough to step into the warfare, to step into the line of fire when no one else was doing that. And there was so much that came. Yes, the evidence, the demonstration of who Jesus is was evident in this house and is evident in this house. And so I just want you to know that this place has impacted Rick and I's life to the point that we're Red Seal Ministries. We are a ministry out in the region, multiplying what Jesus would want us to do. And so revival continues. Revival continues. So I heard the word landmark, that this land is marked for revival. Okay, and then I saw the well too, but and like I shared, it's there's so many people in this region have been impacted by this house. We're all here to attest and witness that. And yet, you may not have seen all the fruit yet, but I believe in the next 10 years, you're going to see people coming up to you with the same story like that man about the well. And this is a place where God's Spirit is strong and alive. And I see that it is very prophetic that on Resurrection Sunday, you are passing the torch. And the torch is going to be bigger. It's going to be bigger, and this is a revival arena where many will be ignited and sent out, which has already been said, and will be continue to be an equipping center. I saw soldiers being given weapons in their hands to be taught how to go to war. Okay, so a remnant war center. And Barry, I saw and I heard as I was walking my dog this morning that you are big in the kingdom and you are big for the kingdom. And big is extravagantly large and overflowing. And what do you think of the word when you think of big? What do you think of when you think of big is overflowing and grandiose and impactful, all of those things. And I believe that you're known in heaven and you're also known by the enemy, and you've pushed through and the enemy is fleeing. And that's why I saw that big torch. So I feel like you have your travel jacket on, and I saw a briefcase, and you're about to go do a lot of traveling. You're unleashed. And I just feel a little bit personalized, so to give words to Craig and to Renee. I want to, if that's okay with you guys. I saw a whirlwind, and I saw a piece of paper with a grid with a lot of numbers. And I feel like the Lord is saying, it's a sheet of paper with numbers, and I feel like the Lord is saying it will seem chaotic and not make sense and not compute what you're entering into. But God has something that is shifting for you both. And Renee, that gift of discernment, that you have eyes that are like X-ray eyes and a vision, your seer gift will shift into gear to a new level. And Craig has his back, because as you have his back, that his love for people can flow with that kind of support. So there's a match made in heaven, of course, right? But that's what I was seeing is how this thing's going to play out in the next season, that you will excel in this new season and flow better than you ever have. So I just declare and decree over this house a bigger torch that's being lit, a well that will never dry out, and that you are raising up warriors for a remnant that will go out and impact this region and for the next generation. Amen.
Good morning, Barry, Candy. We love you guys so much. And Barry, Candy, and Rick and Maria surprised us on the day that we were transitioning out of our church. We didn't even know they were showing up, but it meant the world to us. So why would we not be here this morning? Like, we love you guys, and we honor you and your faithfulness. But you asked us to prophesy over the house, so we will. The word that I heard was from Revelation 3, and it's to the church in Philadelphia. And there's a specific part in that passage that says, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." And then he addresses the church and he says, "I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, that you have kept my word and have not denied my name." And this is the part that I feel like God is saying to you, that he is holding a door open for you that no man can shut. He is holding a door open to you that no man can shut. And this is not a word that is meant to make you complacent and sit back and, well, you know, he's opening the door so I can just sit back and just take my time. It's a word that is meant to put you at rest in your identity of who you are in Christ and in the identity of who he is to you as a father. That he says, "I am a good father to you. I am a good father to this congregation. I am a good father and I keep my word." That any missed opportunities that you thought you had in the past, I am the one who opens the door that no man can shut, and I will bring those back around. You just need to be at rest, and you need to trust me that what I said will happen, will happen. There's a place where Paul is talking, and he says that the Israelites were not able to enter into the rest of God because they did not mix the word that was spoken with faith. And that's your part. God has spoken his word to you, and your part is to mix that with faith, to take the word that God has spoken in his word and to you directly as a body and say, "I believe you, God." Pastor Barry today recounted the history for you so that you would be reminded and that you would remember who you are and what God has called this body to. And now it is your position to say, "I believe what God has said. I am not in competition with any other church, any other body, any other ministry. I am not comparing myself to any body, any ministry, anything out there. Because God is holding a door open that no man can shut. If I believe him, I can step through that door. Because there is nothing else shutting that door but my lack of unbelief if I refuse to step in it." He is holding a door open for you, for the promises that he gave to this body. And he says, no one can take that from you. If you mix the word with faith, I have a door open for you that no man can shut. And this is tied to two things in this passage. The first one is, in every space in these passages in Revelation where God is speaking to the churches, he introduces himself by a specific name. And to this church, he introduces himself as the one who holds the key of David. And I believe that it has to do with the revelation of who God has revealed himself in particular ways to specific churches. And to this church, he has revealed himself as the one who holds the key of David, the key of a worshiper. This church is called to be a worshiping church. Lacey, you are raising up not just a worship team, but worshipers throughout the house who will worship in the way that you were singing this morning. All I did was worship. All I did was lay my life down before the King. All I did was praise, and He came through. This is a house of worship. Primarily, it is a house of worship. Before you do anything and you go out to do anything, you are a house of worship. And the second thing that it's tied to in this passage is that it was a church who did not deny His word or His name. You are a church anchored in the word of God. And you do not deny the name of God. There is no philosophy, theology, ideology, name above the name of God that draws or calls your attention. You are a Word of God church. You abide by the Word of God. And if a philosophy, a science, and an ideology, a cultural mindset that comes to say, no, this way is better, you say no, because God said. If something outside of you, that this cultural trend that comes to say, listen, I know how to grow your church because I've got a better way. You say no, because the word of God says, see, it's not about pragmatism and what works. It's about what God said. Did God say? And if God did not say, then you don't move. And that goes back to the at rest part. You are, because God is holding that door, you don't need to move beyond seasons ahead of God. You don't need to move beyond seasons trying to catch up or trying to get to this place because there's pressure to be or to perform or to do. But that God says, that you are a church that says, until God says, we are not moving. God has spoken, and we will abide by His word, and we will move according to His word. I bless you guys.
Rick was asking why we're up here, because Carlette and Maria pretty much say everything that needs to be said. I said, man, we're arm candy. Didn't you know that? I mean, this is what I do. It's my full-time job. What an amazing moment. Part of it's just recognizing moments. Part of it's recognizing moments and taking full advantage of the moment of what God's doing in the moment. I had a simple word from Isaiah chapter 54 for the house. It says, sing, O barren woman who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. That means you're reproducing, and those people are dispossessing everything that is not God. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more. For your Maker is your husband, and the Lord of hosts is His name. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth He is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife. Yeah. I'm going to stop right there just for a second. The calling of the apostolic and prophetic is to create wineskins for what God is about to do, so that as there's moves that are released, the wineskins are developed to collaborate with the move. And oftentimes, I heard this phrase last week. I was in a conversation with someone. I love the phrase, and simple says that babies are birthed in large crowds in the kingdom, meaning you could have mass crusades and a bunch of people get saved. disciples are formed in small groups or small communities. Fathers and mothers are formed in solitude. And John the Baptist are formed in the wilderness. What I found in as I was praying over this house, praying over what is God doing at Crosspoint? What does the future look like for Crosspoint? I kept hearing this: enlarge your tent pegs, stretch out your tent pegs, enlarge your territory. One thing that happens when you enlarge your territory is there isn't something filling it yet. You stretch your tent pegs with the expectation of what's going to fill it. So you actually stretch yourself ahead of the time, and stretching yourself is what pulls in what's supposed to be there. You have to see something before it exists. And I believe the last 20 years has been retooling and forming a womb for something unique to happen. It's an interesting phrase in 1 Samuel. And it's talking about Hannah. Hannah is the mother of Samuel, one of the main prophets of the Old Testament, who anointed Saul, he anointed David, incredible leader. And it says this interesting phrase. It says that Hannah was loved by her husband. That means her husband loved her so much. He had two wives, but he loved Hannah so much he was spoiling her all the time. And yet it says God closed Hannah's womb. In closing Hannah's womb, it provoked hunger in her to get pregnant, far more than just the regular, hey, I just want to have a baby. She was crying as she went to minister before the Lord with her husband. She was crying, saying, I must have a baby, to the point Eli, the prophet, thought she was drunk because she was so distraught. She says, I must have a baby, and if God gives me the baby, I vow that I will give the baby back to the tabernacle to minister before the Lord. So I want you to see the progression. She's loved well, but her womb is closed. That means she's receiving love well from her husband. God has closed her womb. Her ability to reproduce was closed by God to create a crazy kind of hunger that would cause a complete surrender. She's loved well. Her womb is closed. The closed womb, her desire to reproduce, is shut off. That being shut off causes this cry to come out of her that never would have come out any other way, that says, I don't care what it costs, I must have a baby. I will surrender the baby back to God. I'm all his. I will surrender at a level I never would have surrendered before if I would have been having children. The closed womb is what created the cry. The cry is what brought her to surrender. And surrender is what brought her to the tabernacle. And there she receives a word from the Lord that God would give her a child. Again, love well, but now God closes the womb. The closed womb creates desperation. Desperation creates a cry. The cry creates surrender. And surrender opens her up to receiving a miracle to reproduce. And then what happens? She gets pregnant and she gives Samuel to the tabernacle to minister before the Lord. And you see the whole nation of Israel is now affected because of one woman whose womb was closed by God that created desperation. Desperation created a cry. Cry created surrender. And she was impregnated after surrendering. And this is the word that I kept hearing is, desolate woman who has not born any children, your children will be more. Meaning this. You are in a season of expansion and multiplication, an exponential multiplication, but it will not happen in a way of years gone by of seeing how many people you could fit within this sanctuary. And the desperation of wanting children and not seeing it come to pass has put such a hunger in the heart of the leadership, and I know in the heart of Barry and Candy, to say, we will surrender all need for the approval of man, all need for the applause, all need for success, all need of what it means to be a successful ministry, that we must have children. And that desperation has created a womb. And apostolically and prophetically, that womb has been designed in the last 20 years to reproduce one child after another, 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 after another. Expansion is going to look amazing from this house. And now I'll read you the scripture again from the point. You are Hannah about to give birth. Sing, O barren woman who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married. And this is the word for the house. Expansion's coming. Multiplication's coming. And it's not going to happen so that your ego is caressed. It's going to happen because you love Jesus with all your heart and you have completely surrendered. And this house is just getting started in the area of multiplication. It's finishing the season of foundation, and it's moving into the season of multiplication. It's finishing the season of foundation. Do not move the ancient stones that were laid in this house for a reason. It's time for now an unleashing and expansion. So I speak now to the womb of this house. And we come into alignment with the word of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 54 and 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we say, now is the season for multiplication. Stretch your tent pegs. Now is the season to prepare for baby after 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 baby. That you will not just reproduce babies, but you will produce sons and daughters of the Most High God that know who they are and their identity, that know their tribe and who they're called to, and know their expression to love the world well, that they will not be able to be bought by popular opinion, by religious or political spirit, that they've been bought by the blood of Christ, that Jesus is their husband. And I decree of the house of Crosspoint, Jesus is your husband. You are the bride of Christ. And you are free to expand and to multiply with no sorrow added in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Awesome. I'm not going to share too long. It's about 45 minutes. Now, Barry, I think it was 2009 we got coffee somewhere. I don't remember where it was, but I do remember the connection. There was an immediate bond. And then just this church supported Cecil and I to be at UC San Diego to advance the kingdom, still is pouring into our lives. So this is always going to be a special place for us. And I was standing up there, we brought, I think it was 2010, it was Decree Conference or something like that. And we brought a group of UCSC students who were sitting up there, and a couple of them made a sign because they wanted Bobby Connor to pray for them. Like, please pray for us, Bobby. So they all come down, it was like 20 students, but there was one in particular, his name is Paul Yu, and it was his first time ever being in a meeting like that. He just started coming. His faith background was not that at all. And so Bobby had this crazy word for him about writing. And he goes flying on the ground. And he's actually involved in advertising now, really high level, writing ads. It's all kingdom. And I just want, like, the word I heard, which is kind of a strange word, but the word that I heard the Lord say was super spreader. And that, you know, it's kind of a tent peg kind of thing too, but it's like, you know, super spreader is a highly contagious individual that gets a lot of people infected. And this is what this place is. It's a house of super spreaders. You know, legacy is not a building. It's not organizations. It's people. It's like there's a Paul Yu that had a crazy encounter in here that is forever changed, that is now in the marketplace. And the second part of the word that I saw was a picture. God was making a quilt, and he was inviting everyone into the mix. And it was like this crazy looking quilt patchwork together. And each patch on its own didn't really make sense. But when it came together, it was really cohesive and congruent. And on the top of this quilt was Marketplace. And the super spreader dynamic. Let me pull up this verse. It's Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. There's a generational release that's come out of this place that's going to continue. There are super spreaders that are all across the planet that have been infected here. There are super spreaders sitting in seats right now that will infect people in the marketplace. And I agree with your word, Craig, in the sense that it's not about people coming here. Like, the greatest impact is going to be the lives that are touched outside of there. And so the spreading factor, it's like the river that comes out of Ezekiel got deeper the further it got from the temple. There's a depth to the marketplace that God's inviting you into. And that is the place where it's not where you're spreading yourself too thin. It's the super abundance of God. So you're not going to be spread thin. To be a super spreader in the kingdom, you're not spread too thin. It's coming from an abundant Father, a loving and abundant Father that has a supply, that well is a supply. You know, this is Resurrection Day, right? Or co-resurrection day. The stone was rolled away. You know, Jacob's well, they'd have to put this stone on, and then they'd move it to grab the water and put it back. The stone being rolled away, it's the well has been open. It's never going to run dry. It's never going to close again. You'll never reach the bottom of this. There's such an abundant supply. You will never reach the bottom of that well. So the supply that he has for this place will never run out. The supply that he has for you will never run out. You're infected. You have a contagion. You're highly, highly contagious. So I just declare that over this house. This is a super spreader house. From a super abundant Father and a super abundant kingdom, you have supplied all that we will ever need before time even began. The purpose of this house has nothing to do with time. You gave us purpose and grace before time began. So we declare that multiplication, that increase, that favor in the marketplace, that this quilt will come together. It'll be a sign and a wonder of community and unity coming together for the sole purpose of the glory of Jesus Christ in this city and in this region. And I bless you, Sappingtons, for every sacrifice, every time you said yes when it was hard to say yes, every time you made an integrous decision when nobody saw it, heaven saw it. Heaven is attracted to your lives because of the lives you've lived outside of this environment on a stage. So I bless who you are, honor who you are in the kingdom of God, what you've been called to release into the earth. Your time is not finished. Your purpose has nothing to do with time anyways. So I bless your health. May you increase in favor with God and people, in wisdom and stature. May you be a sign and a wonder and a portal to another world. In Jesus' name.
May everybody else prophesy over you. That I just, the whole time I just kept seeing in this place was birthed out of your guys' connection to each other. And God's going to do something significant this next season. It's going to be amazing. But I, like, the whole time I kept praying, the Lord's like, there's the covenant the Barry and Candy have with each other is what created the womb that's ready now for the next phase. And there's something so significant about what exists because you guys are together that would not exist. Yeah, I mean, you guys are both rock stars in and of yourself. I'm not saying that. You know that. But there's something, it's because you're together. It's the intimacy you guys have with each other that has created what exists here today and taken back to Carlette's word, but every door that God has opened, no man could shut. Every door that God closes, no man can open. Every womb that God opens, no man can shut. And there's something significant that has happened because of what you guys, your, yeah. It's not a positional thing. It's a relational thing. Something exists in this house, and it came because of your vulnerability and intimacy with each other. So.